administrator. He's special assistant to the pastor, and a lot of different things. I didn't say assistant pastor. I said special assistant to the pastor, and there's a difference. Say, what's the difference? See me after the altar call. I'll explain it to you. Okay, I will explain this to you since you asked that question. That sometimes titles can kind of goof people up a little bit, because sometimes they'll take a word like assistant pastor and they'll drop the word assistant and they'll just start calling somebody pastor that's not their pastor. And then that gets them all goofed up. So I don't want to do that. So special assistant to the pastor. You got several words that you have to drop before you get to the word pastor, right? You got more words to do. So it's going to take a lot more work to do that, okay? So, anyhow, praise God. Do we have fun here?
Yes.
Do we have a lot of fun here?
Yes.
Love you, brother. Let's give my hand a welcome and
appreciate you. I am so glad Pastor and Sister Meadows are back. They are wonderful people, and I appreciate them so much. And did we miss them on Sunday?
Yes.
We had a great time, but you know what? Like I told before we got started in the service, I said, let's pretend like Pastor's here. I said, because I know his heart is. So I knew that. So we pretended like he was here, and we just went on and did what God wanted us to do. And I appreciate them so much, and he that he has confidence in me that I can teach tonight, and I appreciate that. God is so good to us, amen? We serve a great God, a wonderful Savior, and I love everyone in the room here. You're all special to us, and my wife and I, and you know, my wife just had a birthday. We went out and celebrated, and she's a wonderful young lady. I appreciate her so much. But I do love Pastor and Sister Mills. They mean the world to us and to my wife and I. And we're just so happy you're back, and thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. You know, he says special assistant. I drop everything but the special, because some people think I am kind of special, I guess. Not in a good way, probably. But anyway, I have a microphone tonight that works, Mike. You know? For those who don't know, if you weren't here a few weeks ago, Pastor I was at camp, and our sound system was out. But for me to feel comfortable, I had the microphone anyway, even though you couldn't hear me. So I was using the microphone anyway, because you get in a habit of doing things, you just keep up to it. But God is so good, isn't he? I'm going to try to get through this tonight. I'm not sure if I'll get everything done, because I want us to have time with the Lord praying and just seeking him on things. Because one of the most important things we can do is make sure we're seeking God regularly. And I tell you what, God is so good to us. He's a wonderful Savior. I appreciate everything he's done. And a lot of times, at least I do, you may not do this, sometimes I take things for granted. And we don't realize at times when we take things for granted what's happening. But we go through things and we immediately have reactions to something that comes at us. And we forget we are still under construction. We are under construction. And that's when you were talking about under construction, that just reminded me. And that's not my message tonight. But I'm just saying we get this mindset. And I want to be more sensitive to what God wants. And be more sensitive to him and things. And what I want to talk about tonight, and I don't know how far I want to get, is the characteristics of a good leader. And there's a number of, if you do research, you can find a number of things to talk about what the characteristics of a good leader is. But I want to stick to some biblical principles that I came across for characteristics of a good leader. God has called us all to be leaders. In some way, we're leaders. If you're a parent, you're a leader in your home. If you're an older sibling, you're a leader of your younger siblings. If you're a grandparent, you're a leader of your family. We're all called to be leaders. Our pastor is probably one of the best leaders we have in this church, and Sister Meadows is right there with them. They have led us through some great times, some difficult times at first, some, a lot of transition when they first came on 9 years. I think it's been 9 years now. Can you believe it? 9 years. It flew by. And we have changed over the 9 years. It's because of our leadership. We didn't have any leadership training. when they came. And that's one of the first things pastor started doing. So a good leader recognizes things that we need to do. And I'm going to talk about some of that. But one of the first things I want to talk about, characteristic of a good leader, will seek God for direction. Proverbs 16:1, and I've got a number of scriptures, so we're just going to read them as we come across them. But Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." For us to be the leaders that we need to be seeking God for direction on things. We need to be looking towards Him. And I'm talking about not just in church matters. I'm talking about in every decision that we make. We need to be seeking God for direction. Our society now is so much on impulse. What makes me feel good? And a lot of times when we go by our impulses, it will get us in trouble. And if we're a good leader, I'm going to tell on myself. My wife loves when I tell on myself. Because she tells me later on, "I told you that." Hang on a second, I get a drink. You know, they always say the woman's the spender. My wife is not the spender. I'm the spender. And she reminds me of that now and then. And I'm guilty of this. Get an impulse, and I got to have it. And the worst thing for me is Amazon Prime. Okay? It's so easy. So easy to open it up and hit that button. And the thing is, they don't even ask for my credit card anymore because I got on Quick Pay. It's select, boom, you have it in 2 days. And you look forward to that second day, okay. You look on your app, is it coming? And then you realize, then you get it, it's like, oh, right now what? Oh, I need this to go with it. But that's me, and I think a lot of that was because when I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of things, and I made it. I'll be the first to admit I have some bad spending habits. That's why I have a wife who keeps me in check. And I'm going to tell myself this is I'm talking about those impulses that we get. When we don't seek God and go after Him. I left one day about 4 years ago. Yeah, it was 4 years ago. Left one morning, and I came home from work. I had to go do something, so I took off, and I come home, and she looks out in the driveway. I got a new truck. She goes, "Where did that come from?" One of those impulse buys. I went down there to look for something else. I got this, you know. And I share this for this reason. It's wise to seek God or your wife before you make purchases. Again, I'm an open book. I tell on myself all the time, and that's why I have a wife who loves me no matter what I do at times. Why I said that is this: we all operate on impulses at times. We see something bright and shiny, and we're drawn towards it. And we want it, and we'll move heaven and earth if we could to get to it and get it. But when God asks us to do something, we sit there and go, "Do I have to do that?" But a good leader will take that time and they'll seek God, ask God for direction, because they'll go and ask God for answers, and because then God will see that and He will give you those answers and help you. In my job that I do is I deal with a bunch of individuals. They're not employees. I have 4 employees that report to me, but I've got like 90 contractors that report in our center to deliver to the Columbus Dispatch up in Powell. And it's challenging at times because they have their own mindset. They'll call and say, "Hey, I'm not coming in today because my car's broke." And my initial impulse is to get upset. But I have to sit there. And
And we need to do that more regularly with God. Because when something comes on us, are we seeking God? And a good leader will seek God for direction on things. And then it's amazing how much better things go when you seek Him. Think of Daniel. We know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But what put Daniel in the lion's den? He made someone upset because of his trust in God, believing in God. Because he believed God, that God will take care of things of him. He says, I'm not going to eat those food. But somehow people got upset with Daniel because he was not like them. He was different. And he was thrown into the lion's den. Do you think Daniel learned to pray in the lion's den? He didn't learn to pray in the lion's den. He was praying to God beforehand. He was all ready to go. He wasn't worried about those lions. Because he was already seeking God for direction on things. And what did God do? God closed those lions' mouths. And they said, well, the lions were just probably, they liked them. You know, they just lay there and he patted them and all this stuff. They were lions. So the next morning when the king went there, what happened? When he saw Daniel was alive, he had him brought out, and he took the men and put them in there, threw them in there, and the lions attacked him immediately. They were hungry. But God's hand was on him because God gave him an answer, and it became a testimony that we still talk about thousands of years later. Because what Daniel was willing, he was willing to be a leader, and despite what everyone else was saying around him. The three Hebrew boys would not bow because they believed in God. That we don't honor idols. We don't do these things. It's in our belief, our trust in God, and they are put to a test. And they overcame that test because they seek God and they believe God, what God was going to do for them. And our society is so crazy nowadays. It's the opposite of what they don't want. They're not looking for good leaders. They're looking for that charismatic person, that person that gives that speech, that person that looks good. God's not out looking for the outer. He's looking to see what the man and the woman inside is all about. That's what God's seeking. Are we willing to seek Him? How weird is our society now? I'm going to give another example of my wife. This is all part is. She goes in to get her driver's license because they expired on her birthday. So she goes in there and she takes her Social Security card and her license so she can get a new one. She goes there and they say, well, do you plan to fly on a plane? Well, someday I want to fly on a plane, yeah. And they're saying, well, you can't use these documents. You have to get different documents now. And because she was married, she has to find her birth certificate, her wedding her marriage license, all this stuff to prove who she is. Which is really weird. When did that happen? I didn't even know that law got passed, but apparently, and then they don't give you the license anymore when you go there. They take your license, they put a hole in it, they give you a piece of paper, and you hang on to it, and they're going to mail you the license now. Here's the kicker. Here was the kicker, and I'll be honest. I got a little riled up in the flesh when this one happened, and see, they're taking a picture. They said, ma'am, you need to take off your headband because it's distracting. It's distracting in the picture, but yet the woman right before her, they did nothing, and she had one that was it called a burqa, all covered up because of her religion. Our society is strange, and I love them. I'm not condemning them, and what I'm saying is, I would think it'd be more bad if you couldn't see who the person was versus a headband. I told Rhonda, she said, this is my religion, I got to wear this. But our society is seeking the wrong things. It's gravitating toward leaders who don't have our interest in mind. They have their interest in mind. What we need in a good leader is who have the people's interest in mind. And that's what a good leader does. He or she has the people in mind. And what is it? And that's through their relationship with God. Working that relationship with God. So we talking to God, God examining our hearts, we examining our own heart, realizing where we need to change things and do things differently. And then God will give us answers. He'll give us words. I believe he does this with Pastor and Sister Meadows all the time. The messages that we've been hearing the last 9 years have been outstanding. And I have to say this. I want, again, like Pastor, I want to thank our church because of Sunday. Because we, in my opinion, this is me, I feel like we took a step forward, a big step. A big step. The power of God moved, and we could have easily stopped and just went on with the service. But you know what? Learning from our leader. Let's keep it going. Let God move. Do what God, let God take control. And what happened? God moved in a mighty way in our service. I didn't want to be the one that was going to stop that. But it's being sensitive to what God wants. That's another thing, a quality of a leader. A leader is modest, not arrogant. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Good leaders, or good characteristic of a leader, they're modest. They're not arrogant. Well, look at me. Look at all the campaign ads that are going on right now. I'm so glad when the elections are over. They all want to be our leaders. But no one is talking about what they're going to do to help. They're talking about what the others are doing bad. It's the arrogance of that. It's like, who can sling the mud and make it sit out there the longest? God's not looking for that. God's looking for someone who's going to be humble and be willing to, and not be arrogant. One of the most humblest men in the Bible, besides Jesus to me, was Paul. Paul, when you talk about the Apostle Paul, what he went through, he had a zeal for God from the time he was young. And when these Christians were going against what he thought was right. So what was he doing? He was out there persecuting them, thinking he was doing the will of God, doing everything what God wanted him to do, doing what the Pharisees wanted him to do. He was at the stoning of Stephen. He was there. But God saw something in Paul. Saul at the time. He saw something in him that when he was on the road to Damascus, traveling to go persecute more people, God showed up. God showed up in the middle of this, and Paul recognized when he was knocked down, he humbled himself before God. And he called him, he said, Lord, Lord, who are, and I'm paraphrasing, who art thou? He said, thou art Jesus who thou persecutest. Oneness. He recognized who that was. He realized the oneness of God. You know what? That Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And because he had a belief, just like all of us in here, there's only one God. You don't serve any other gods. You don't serve any other idols. You don't serve. You don't bow down. But he was knocked down. But when he got knocked down, he realized who it was that knocked him down. He humbled himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, Paul writes, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is it he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Paul recognized, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He wrote And but yet he humbled himself because he realized who he was. He was an instrument of God. And he humbled himself. He was modest. He didn't boast himself up. And when people would say things, and he would always come back, it seemed like, and just like humble himself and gave God all the credit for everything. He wasn't arrogant about, this is what I did. Even when they were talking about, and he was talking, telling them in Corinthians about all the stuff he went through, how many times he was in the sea. Could you imagine being in the ocean, the sea, a night and a day? I would have died. Everything that swam around me, I would think was a shark. It was going to eat me. You know, I mean, but yet he was in these situations. He was beaten for God. He was persecuted by people that laid wait for him. These were the same people that told him what to do in the beginning. But he didn't complain. He gave God the glory. He humbled himself. He was modest in that sense. And I believe that's another good character of a leader, is that you're not going to be arrogant. You're not going to puff yourself up. Because we start puffing ourselves up, when God pops that balloon, it's going to be a big explosion. Another characteristic of a good leader is a peacemaker. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. I believe that when we become the character, we take on these characteristics of a leader, that when we can be a peacemaker when there's issues going on. When something happens, we can be that calm influencing. But that's only good is when we are praying. And we are following the number one, where we're seeking God for direction on things. When we seek him, God will bring those other things to it, where we can be that peacemaker with the way we talk, the way we speak. Our tone in our voice can affect a lot of things. And depending upon how we let that tone act, that tone can have a negative impact. I tell you, no matter what is going on, our pastor is probably one of the most sweetest men there is. When you're sitting there and he's talking to you, he's telling you, talking with you, giving you direction and guidance, he's doing it in love. It's not, you need to do this. It's not like that. It's low-key. Have you sought God on that? Well, let's pray together on that. Keeping it peace. Because most fights start because one starts yelling, then the other one tries to out-yell that one, and it gets louder and louder and louder. Well, I have more weapons than you. Well, I got more powerful weapons than you got. That's these worlds. They start going on and on. You know, it's who speaks, who you try to shout the loudest over the other one. And then before you know it, your neighbors are calling the cops because they're thinking the domestic violence going on. But we need to be peacemakers. We need to make that peace, make it smooth for people, for a leader. Because people are looking at you. They're watching you. They're going to see how you react to things. And I'm not perfect in this area, I'll be honest with you. I'm under construction. I should get that. Where is that? Amen. Oh, they're gone. It is under construction. But the one thing I do, when I realize I mess up, when I react the wrong way, I make every effort to go back to that person and apologize. To make it right. To go, you know what? So you know what? I was out of the line on that. I was out of hand. Yeah, I don't agree with what how you did it, but I should not react the way I reacted. Because the most important thing is me. I'm a representation of Jesus. And I don't want them to see Jesus in my manner, the way I act. When they do see Jesus, they should see someone who's loving, caring, and kind. Now, my flesh at times don't like to do that. All of our flesh is like that, right?
Yeah. Amen.
But we need to be the peacemaker. We need to be able to come into a situation and just kind of smooth things out and help things. But we're going to do that with God's direction. As a leader, it's important. Another one, another characteristic of a leader is fair and just. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness with great revenues without right. I was thinking about this one and when I was thinking of fair and just. The Bible talks about Solomon being a wise, one of the wisest men. And he had all kind of wisdom. And I believe it, if I remember right, the story was there's two women came with a child, claiming the child was theirs. And the one said, that's my baby, and the other one said, no, that's my baby. And Solomon, in his wisdom, oh, we're going to cut the baby in half. We're going to give half to you and half to you. One woman says, yes. The other woman said, no, let her have the baby. And in Solomon's wisdom, he knew who the mother was. It was the one who was willing to give up her motherhood so the baby could live. His wisdom. And but was that fair? You say, how's that fair and just? He was trying to find the line where who would react. Because he knew the mother, how the mother would react to it. When we are in a situation and we have to make decisions and with our kids or whatever going on, we need to be fair and just with them based upon the circumstances. Pastor talked about this here last week, I believe, when he was talking about our kids and when we should train up our children, mentoring our children, showing our children. And I believe we do that by being fair and just with our children. Growing up when I was in high school, I had a French teacher, Mrs. Bartholo. She was a very nice woman, older lady and everything. But she was our French teacher, and I used the word brat one day, and she stopped me, and she goes, "Stephen, do you know what the meaning of brat is?" I said, "No, I don't." She goes, "It means orphan, unwanted child." So, when I hear people call my little brats, it irritates me. Because we're telling our kids, we say these things to our kids. We're shaping in their minds of what they are. One of the things I did when my kids were growing up, whatever they wanted to be, great, you're going to be awesome at it. You're going to be awesome at it. I wanted to be always encouragement to my kids. Because I grew up in a time when it was sit still, don't be seen but not heard. I heard that a lot growing up. You talk too much, go sit down. You know, and it shapes us. Those type of things, the saying those type of things can affect how you, when you become older, because you talk about being introvert or an extrovert or whatever vert it is, it's shaped by how our parents talk to us and people around us. If I was always told, shut up, be quiet, you don't build no confidence. But we need to learn through those things that, you know, we need to be fair and just with our kids. We need to be fair and just with our relationship with other people. Because not everyone's going to do the things we think they should do. But it doesn't give us the right to take a ball bat and beat them over the head with it. Because it's not fair and just. But it takes the wisdom of God and understanding and seeking God on how we should react to situations. Because not all things are the same. And God does that with us. As we grow with God, I believe God expects me to know a lot more and do a lot better than our kids do. Because I've been around it longer. Understand it. It's like a baby. I don't expect a newborn to go out and start changing themselves. taking care of themselves. But a 50-year-old, a 55-year-old, 54-year-old man, I should be able to take care of myself. Amen? But, I mean, there's a balance. God has expectations for us. And that what we need to be doing, and he's fair and just with us. And he's fair from the standpoint as we grow in him, we have more expectations that we have taken on, what's expected of us, on what we're supposed to be doing. And I just want to encourage you, don't call your kids derogatory names. Encourage them. Encourage them. I don't, like Pastor says, I hear him say it a lot, is this, find something good that they did and praise them for it. You know, when I see my grandkids, I don't go, oh, you know, do we, it's just, it's different. You praise them, and I hear, you know, we don't call them names, we don't do these things, we encourage them, we lift them up. Because we want them to be, they need to see Jesus. Our kids and our grandkids and the people around us need to see Jesus in us. And they're not going to see God in us if we're constantly ridiculing them. This is totally out of my notes. Rhonda was there when we were down last visit there visiting our kids. And I might have told you, so if I told you this, forgive me. We're visiting the kids and the grandkids. And Rhonda was in the kitchen making breakfast. And she was singing a Christian song, and Ava asked her, "What are you singing, Pumpkin?" She calls her Pumpkin, and it's an endearing term. She wants something different other than Grandma or Grandmother or whatever, because she's called Pumpkin. She goes, "Well, I'm singing about Jesus," and Ava just started crying, saying, "I love Jesus." She's only church Ava ever had. It's coming to a couple services here. Her parent, my daughter's backslidden, displaced apostolic. They don't go to church anywhere. Last Christmas, Rhonda gave her a picture Bible for Christmas. She and sat down with her, read over it with her, and different things. You know, it's those little things that your kids remember. And those are the things we need to be planting inside them, training up, not down, so we can be fair and just. Another thing, a characteristic of a good leader, is they surround themselves with trustworthy people. And then I think this is the most important part, listens to them. You get people around you, a group of people around you that can give you advice, because believe it or not, I don't know everything. Yeah, I'm glad, Esther, you laughed. I heard Mike would say, amen. But we don't know everything. Our reaction to things is based upon how we went through something, a similar situation. How we react is what we were, I'm going to say trained, but what we learned through our nature of how to react when something happens at us. But if you have people around you, maybe have a different perspective of your perspective, it gives you more insight. It gives you an opportunity to re-examine, you know, there is a different way to do this. You know, I can go this way. Now, as a leader, you still have, as a leader over everything, you still have the final say, but it's wisdom to take advice from others. Pastor will call, he'll call Tim, he'll call me. You know, if he has a decision to make on the like when the winter time with the roads, he'll call us. Hey, Brother Dinkins, Brother Tim, what do you guys think? He has the ultimate authority, but he'll ask our input in things, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Then he has to decide what he wants. But that's what we need when we put good people around us. It helps in our decision-making, because then you can say, you know what? And the other thing it does, a good leader for that purpose, is that you're getting buy-in from the rest of the people. They feel part of that decision-making. And that they don't have to feel like, well, he's always making the decision. He never asks me what I want to do. And they start getting disgruntled. But if they're pulled into the conversation, pulled into that, and then you're and you really listen as a leader to them, and you take what they say, and you make a decision that helps, it gives you a different perspective. So good leaders will listen, will take that advice, they'll surround themselves with, the key is trustworthy people. You want to get people around you that you trust. You trust what they say. Now, if there's someone I don't trust around me, why would I want to take their advice? Because they're probably not out for your good well-being or the corporation. And when I say the corporation, it could be the church. It could be anything. It's whatever you're dealing with at the time. We need to understand that. Proverbs, I don't remember if I read this, but Proverbs 16:13 says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. And you love him that speak it right. If we seek that wisdom of God and we seek counseling from the people that we trust around us and we make the decisions, it's going to help people understand why we made decisions that we made. And they're going to have faith in you. They're going to trust that you do know what you're doing and you're able to lead and that you're going to be able to step up and get us in the right direction. Now, say what you want about Donald Trump. President Trump, he's refreshing compared to what we had put up with for years. We may not always agree what he does and how he does it. I wish he would get off Twitter, get off Facebook, get off all that social media stuff, because I think it hurts him at times. But he's the man that says what's on his mind. And sometimes it's not too bright. However, it's refreshing from this standpoint. You know where he's at. You know, I feel like there's no hidden agenda like some of the politicians. I mean, I think they all have these hidden agendas of what they're going to do for me, how's it going to benefit, and those type of things. And he's, again, I think he does need to have more wisdom around him. But you think about the people he has around him now. His vice president is a Christian. And former Governor Pence, his son-in-law is Jewish. Think about that. So he's hearing things. And I imagine they talk. They talk about different things. And then he's doing things that I believe that is helping our country. He's building those relationships that were torn down with Israel. He's building those relationships back up by opening the embassy. Thank you. But over there, see, my brain goes dead sometimes. But he opening up, he's doing different things. Who enjoyed the tax return you guys got? You got one hand up, another hand up. He's giving you money back. He's going against the norm of what everyone else, even his own party, he's going against them. But I'm just saying, but I do think he needs to have some counseling around him that put those trustworthy. But I think he means well in what a lot of times he just likes to hear himself talk. He is one of those guys that are arrogant, I think, at times. But it's refreshing to hear from the standpoint he does listen. I believe he listens to what people are saying to him, then he makes these decisions. Another good characteristic is a learner. Hey, I'm around time. He's a learner. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Are we learning? Are we learning each day? Are we learning something new? Are we finding something in today? If we sat down tonight before you went to bed and think about what did I learn today? That's like a gold bar. And it's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than silver. Because it's something we can take with us. and can help us grow in the future. So what are we learning? How much better is wisdom? Because we learn something each day. I've already talked about this one a little bit. Humble. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." If we do not humble ourselves before God, God will knock us down. Have you ever been knocked down by God? You think you're all that? I remember, I'm going to tell a story. My son and my Aaron, he likes that MMA, which it's just weird to me, but he likes it. We were wrestling one day. He got me in a chokehold. And I tapped out real quick. I said, for a scrawny little kid, he's strong. What I learned that day was I'm not wrestling my son anymore. I thought I was a big bad dad, that I can still take my boy. God humbled me that day. We have to understand things that we have to humble ourselves. We have to be willing to put aside what we want to do and what we want to do on things and realize that's not really what God always wants us to do. Are we willing to do that? Or are we going to be like King Saul started out okay? You know, he was humble when he first became king. Why me? And if you read the story, he didn't think he was from the least of the tribes, but he got this spirit that came upon him, where he now, oh wow, I am the big shot, I am in charge, and he didn't listen to the prophet of God, and that led to his destruction. He lost everything. His family lost everything because of how his attitude became. Because he lost that humbleness. And we need to be careful that we don't lose our humbleness when it comes to the moving of God, the presence of God in our life. And that we humble ourselves to that. And next is sensible and kind. Proverbs 16:22-23. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of the fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Sensible and kind. A good characteristic of a leader is that we're going to be sensible and kind. We're not going to be sharp-tongued at someone. We're going to be nice, but yet authoritative when we have to be. Because at the end of the day, God has placed people, has placed us all here for a reason. He has a top-down approach. He's the top, and anything moves down. Pastors is over us. And if we get out thinking that he's over us, then we got trouble. You're moving outside of where God wants us at. There's a hierarchy. And the reason God does that is to help us grow. It gets us together on the same page. Again, God, that he has our pastor, our leadership, and then wherever else. It's just like in our relationships at work. There's a hierarchy on your job. You know, I'm a manager, but guess what? I've got three levels above me. We all have people who are over us. We need to understand that, you know, we need to take that information that we get, and we need to process it correctly, that we can use it wisely. And the last thing here tonight is slow to anger. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." Are we fiery out right off the bat? Someone says something that we don't agree with, we shoot that cannon out at them? Or are we slow? Do we get into that mode? Are we slow to anger? And then, Bertha, if you want to come up, I really feel that one of the good characteristics of our leaders, and you think of some of our greatest leaders in our country, I think of George Washington, our first president. He was a leader of our country. He really didn't want the position as president. He didn't want it, but he accepted it because that's what the people wanted. And he led our country. Then you go through like Abraham Lincoln. He was a leader to one of the most the worst times in our country's history when we were divided against each other. And God rose up Abraham Lincoln for that time. John F. Kennedy. I never really, of course I wasn't around for Lincoln either, but I'm just saying. John F. Kennedy, if you hear the stories of John F. Kennedy, what he believed, and Pastor mentioned it, it wasn't about what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Our society has twisted so much that. Now it's what is the government going to do for me? That's how it's changed. And that's the same party that he was. They changed what he said. But I believe when these situations came up, they didn't jump to the gun. When we had the Bay of Pigs situation in Cuba, Kennedy didn't immediately start firing missiles at them, at the Russians. He was slow. He gave them an ultimatum, and then it played out. We can't just shoot off our missiles at times. We have to be slow and look at the situation, because if we take the right approach to things and we do it the right way, God will intervene. He will bring that peace. He will bring that, and I'm talking about our relationships one and the other. If our brother or sister has done something, the Bible teaches us that if we have ought against our brother, or if our brother has ought against us, we're supposed to leave the altar and go to them and ask for forgiveness. It's not start, well, they did this, they just get on the phone. Did you hear what so-and-so did? That's firing those missiles. Trying to put ourselves up above where God wants us. But when we humble ourselves and ask God to forgive us, ask them to forgive us, God smooths things out, and most people don't even realize there was something that happened. Because God intervenes when we are slow to anger. We allow him to take over, and that anger ceases. When you truly seek God, that anger will cease. Those are some of the characteristics that I came across studying this here today, and hopefully it was something can help us all grow. There was 9 things, but I imagine you can find 30 more if you look, because we are in a church that I believe God has put here for a reason. He has placed us here for a purpose. And we heard Brother Scott talked about coming home on Sunday. And I believe that. I believe we're going to have displaced apostolics coming in here. We already have. And they're welcomed. Because we're a church that loves them. We're a church that loves people. But we cannot allow ourselves to become so mighty that we think we're better than anybody else out there, because we're not. God has blessed us with a great pastor and pastor wife. But we need to realize that it's from God, and that we need to take that information, and the training we get from him is making us better. I could not talk about leadership if it wasn't for the training I received from our pastor. And I'm plugging in our leadership training on Sunday night. There is no reason why everybody here tonight can't be here on Sunday night for our leadership training. Because we're all leaders. It's how bad do we want it? Do you want to accept the call of God on our lives? Or we want to keep just going through the motions? I believe God wants to do some great things for us. And part of that is developing us as leaders. Again, we're all leaders. God has placed us over some place. Like I said earlier, your children, grandchildren, your job, wherever you're at, someone's life, God has placed you there for a reason, and to be an example for them. And we need to be encouraging one another. One of the things that I try to do is, and if someone comes up to me, did you hear what so-and-so did? I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care. If you come up to me, I'll say, I don't care. And I'll say with a smile on my face, it doesn't matter. Because here's the thing I look at. If I did that, who's not doing that about me? If you look at my past, I could not run for political office. If they go back to when you were in high school, I'm in trouble. I haven't told you guys 3/4 of stuff I did in high school. And there's a reason for that. It's under the blood. I thank God for his blood. But I could not run for office. But I'm thankful for God, because that's the earth. We need to, as leaders, we need to be lifting one another up, not ripping someone else down. If we want to stand for a few minutes, we're just going to pray, and I'll turn this back over to Pastor. But I feel like God wants us to be different than we are today. What have we learned? What have we learned today from God? What has God shown you? Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We give you glory and honor, and I thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. Lord, I thank you for everything, God, that you give us these opportunities to learn and understand what you want us to be, Lord. Love you and praise you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Lord, we entertain your presence for just a few moments here tonight, God. Maybe there is at least one or two of these qualities that spoke to us. Probably more, but we could pick one or two this week and say, I want to grow in that area. I want to grow in that area. I want to be a little more humble. Or I want to be a little more sensible and kind. Let's do that as we pray together. Pick something out, just at least one, and just say, Lord, help me. This week, you're casting a vision for leadership. You're wanting us to grow as leaders. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Put it in my heart. Put it in my heart. Put it, God, in my heart. I love 1 Corinthians 9, you know, where Paul says, well, to the Greek, I became as a Greek. To the Jew, I became as a Jew. I have made all things to all men. You know what he was saying? I'm a growing boy. And he was saying this something else. He was saying, if you keep growing, you're going to win somebody. I became a Greek so I could win the Greeks. I became a Jew. I was a Jew unto the Jews because to win the Jews. Every area that he was willing to have it tweaked was an area where he was going to win people in. We are too one-dimensional. You know why Samson fell? He was strong in only one direction. He had physical strength. Well, how about some moral strength? How about some purity strength? How about, you know, he's just strong in one direction. God has not called us to be strong in one direction. Let me tell you why. Because it's easy for the enemy to mess you over when you've only got one strength. He's got 1,000 ideas how to mess you up where you're strong. But if you're strong in 10 or 15 different ways, you confuse him. I don't think he wants you to know this, but he's easily confused. I could prove that to you from Scripture. But he gets very confused, especially when you're doing the right thing and he thought you'd do the, you know, you can confuse him. Let's confuse him. Let's don't be one dimensional. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Let's be multidimensional. In the name of Jesus. All right. You got a hold of this. Get a hold of that one area right there. You can't tackle maybe several this week, but how about tackling one area? Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves. And we say that everybody that gets up here, They're going to be used of God in their own, personality, in their own style. And they're going to help us. They are going to help us. Oh, praise God. I'll never forget this. There's so many of these points that spoke to me, but Brother Haney, you know, was at General Conference, and he had been our superintendent. Kenneth Haney, great man of God. And he wasn't reelected. And so there was like a ripple effect. The ladies were having their meeting next door, I think. And somebody sent a text to Sister Haney, different ones. And he gets up and he says, I believe the will of God was done. I believe God's will was done. And I'm so excited about what God's doing. Is that a good spirit or what? We're too quickly ornery. This is the guy he just embarrassed in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands. He didn't read it that way. He thought, I believe the will of God was done. Probably one of the greatest superintendents, generals we've ever had. And he's saying, the will of the Lord was done. Praise God. Sensible and kind. They brought Tekle from Ethiopia, who was the bishop to 1.4 million apostolics. And they let him sit in a certain situation. I know of the story. They let him sit all day long by himself for hours and hours and hours and hours. And they disrespected him. And we lost that hope. We weren't sensible and kind. And we lost 1.4 million Ethiopian apostolics because we were stupid and we were harsh. We were not sensitive and kind. I'm just telling you, somebody or not. You know, there were good men in the room and all of that. I'm telling you, we lost. Did you know that they had more in Ethiopia, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, than we had in the rest of our movement at that time? Not now, but at that time. And we lost it because we beat him up. And the man that came with him sent messages back to their people on how their bishop was being treated. Because we wanted to, maybe there was a little chat we needed to have with him about a certain way that he presented a certain doctrine. I don't discount that. It's just, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. 1.4 million. Gone. Tell me about the last time you heard about the Ethiopian revival. Been a long time. I can tell you why. We weren't sensible and kind. So, humble. Let's look for humble city. Because we all could park there a while. None of us are here because we're something. We're here because he's something. Lift your hand, let's level. God, we worship you. We didn't get here because of our talent. We didn't get here because of our abilities. We're here by the grace and goodness of God. Thank you for giving me enough sense, Lord, to respond to your goodness and your word, Lord. Wonderful God, fill us up with goodness. Fill us up with your presence, Lord. Use us this week, Lord. Help us to judge our arrogances. Help us to judge our stubbornnesses. We're just people, Lord. And I know if we'll judge ourselves, you won't have to send people to help us. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. How many of you discovered that if you'll judge yourself, he won't have to hire some employees to beat the living daylights? Mercy. He loves us.